Beware of the friends that you hang around, right? Is anybody with me? Don't drift away today. 2 Peter chapter 3. We wrap up this book, 2 Peter, today. And we have been in 1 Peter and 2 Peter for the last 3-plus months. We also went over the book of Jude. And as we went over all of those three books, it all fits together, every puzzle piece. It's been very interesting. And I thought it was interesting how Peter ends the book of 2 Peter by don't drift away. Don't let your heart and your feet take you somewhere where you should not go. There's many warnings in the Bible about this, but what he says is stand firm. Make sure that you don't allow yourself to drift away from God or his word or the church until he comes back, because he calls us to remain faithful. So as we look at this today, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, the Bible puts it this way and says this, and remember, our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. We looked at the heart of God last week. We've looked at false teachers, false preachers, false prophets. We've looked at false churches. We've looked at all kinds of stuff over the last 3 months. And what he reminds us of as we close this out in this season is, listen, God's patient. He loves you, but his wrath is going to be for people that reject him. And the Bible makes that very clear. We don't like to hear that, but it's true. That's why Jesus sent his son to be the sacrifice for our sins. So again, it says, remember, our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. The reason Jesus has not come back a second time is so that people can be saved. 2 Peter 3:16 puts it like this, and those who are ignorant and unstable have twisted his letters. This is what he's warning. In the days ahead, and in his day, people are taking Scripture out of context. They're twisting Scripture to fit whatever narrative they want to. Very dangerous thing. And he says, those who are ignorant and unstable have twisted the letters, the Scriptures, to mean something quite different, just as they do with the other parts of the Scripture. And this will result in their destruction. So it's a warning to stick with the Word of God. Don't try to twist it to fit whatever lifestyle it is. Don't try to twist the Scriptures to fit your narrative. We have to give up our lives for the Scriptures, and we mold to that. And church, when you do that, you'll see a changed life. You'll see a changed marriage, a changed family. I've seen it for 30 years of my own life. So Peter's final words, number one, be on guard. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, the Bible puts it this way, and again, he puts it like this. He says, so dear friends, be on guard. Make sure that the very first thing you understand is be on guard. Don't let that slip. Because if you let that slip, what happens is if you let your guard down, then anything can happen in your life. It happens just like that. Just like the seasons come and go. It can happen just like that. The Bible says this, though, as we look at this, you already know these things, dear friends, so be on guard. Then you will not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people and lose your own secure footing. So in order to not lose your footing, you need to stay on guard. I don't know what the heck has happened the last, month with me, but on Sunday mornings, and it only has happened on Sunday mornings, I have fallen twice down my deck steps. Seriously. And I have no idea what's going on. My toe on my shoe caught the bottom step the first time, and I ate it in the gravel. And then I get to get up and preach. Is anybody with me? So I had to make sure I didn't say anything bad, all right? Are you with me on that? I did good. I passed the test, all right? The second time was on the steps, and it was when it iced. I didn't realize that it had frosted out that bad just a couple weeks ago. I was gone that quick. And I'm like, okay, this is just happening on Sunday mornings. I'm not going to church. Is anybody with me? Just kidding. So when you look at it, though, how many of you guys look at that and you're like, that's not a coincidence. That either something's wrong with me or Satan's trying to break my leg. I don't know. But Proverbs 4:23 says this. And it talks about guard your heart so your feet don't slip. The Bible puts it like this. And again, it says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And as you look at your life, if you don't guard your heart, your life will take a course that it's not supposed to take. And that's why he emphasizes in there, listen, above all else, guard your heart. Make sure you watch your heart and watch your life. Luke chapter 21 puts it like this, and is talking about the last days. It's talking about, listen, there's going to be a day that's coming with an antichrist, and there's going to be a world on fire one day. We've covered all of that stuff the last few weeks. Okay? And so here's the deal. As you look at all that, watch what he says here. Luke says, watch out. It's the same thing as be on guard. Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing and drunkenness and by the worries of this life. Okay? Don't get carried away in that stuff. Don't let that day catch you unaware. That day when Jesus returns. Watch this. Like a trap. For that day will come upon everyone living on the earth. Look at verse 36. Keep alert. Be on guard at all times. And pray that you might be strong enough to escape these coming horrors and stand before the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. I don't know of a more plain verse than that right there. He warns us. He tells us there's a day coming that's going to be horrible for the people that have rejected God. But for you, pray that you stay the course so that when that day comes, you can stand before Jesus, not as a person that receives judgment, but a person that receives grace. 1 Peter 5:8 puts it like this. Stay alert. Be on guard. And watch why he says this. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And over in the Bible, church, it literally says, be on guard. Watch out. Stay alert. Keep an eye out. Make sure your feet don't slip. Guard your heart. And when you look at this, how do you drift away from the faith? I've had a lot of pastors tell me, well, it's impossible to drift away from the faith. And my response back is, have you read the Bible? Is anybody with me? The Bible gives example after example of people drifting away from the faith. Matter of fact, it says in the last days, many will grow cold. We'll look at that in a moment. But how do you drift away? Look at 2 Peter 3:17 again. The Bible says you already know these things, dear friends, so be on guard. Watch this. Then you will not be carried away by the errors or the sins of these wicked people. Watch this and lose your secure footing. So what's happened is I'm on the path of God. I go ahead and I give in to something I shouldn't. And I continue in that, and my feet slip. My feet take me to a path I shouldn't be on. Matter of fact, when you look at Proverbs, let's look at Proverbs 4:23 again, but let's look at the remaining passages after that. I want you to see the breakdown here. This is really interesting. So Proverbs 4:23, and again, when you look at these here, you've got these scriptures on all of these different things, and it says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Now watch what verse 24 says. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. So it's saying, don't let your feet slip. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. I mean, you're sticking with the path. You're not getting off of the path at all. Verse 26, watch what this says here. We got verse 26? Okay. Mark out a straight path for your what? Stay on the what path? Safe path. Look at verse 27. I mean, this is an incredible section of scripture. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your what from following evil? Feet. And what happens is, when you look at Peter, and you look at Jude, and you look at Proverbs and Psalms, and they all repeat the same thing. Make sure that you watch where your heart is going, because that determines where your feet go. That's how that works. And I'll show you through scripture in a moment. The warning with Peter as we close this book out is, listen, make sure you don't lose your secure footing. Make sure you don't slip back into the same things that God brought you out of. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but about the last decade or so, we love the song around here, Amazing Grace. Some of you guys, that's one of your favorites, man. It tells our story. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a what like me? A wretch. I realized I sinned. I realized that I was away from God. I need a Savior. But the last decade or so, maybe a little more, people have taken the word grace and they've twisted it and changed it. So what they've done is they've said, well, God's grace allows you to be forgiven, but allows you to live however you want to because he's already forgiven you. That's not true. See, grace is the power to get you out of what you were in and then keep you from going back into it. That's the power of grace. That's why it's called Amazing Grace. And so when you look at these scriptures here, you see guard your heart above all else. It determines your life. And as you go down through these, it's really interesting because Psalm chapter 119, 105 puts it like this. And again, you see this incredible scripture here, it says the word, okay, the word of God is a lamp to guide your feet. And it's a light for your what, church? Path. If you want to stay on the right path, you want to keep your feet from slipping, it's a real simple answer. Stay in the Bible. Look at Hebrews 12:2. Hebrews 12:2 says this, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. He's the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Why can we look to him? Why do we keep our eyes on him? Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. He disregarded its shame. Now he is seated at the place of honor beside God's throne. I want you to think about that. We serve a God that's alive. Okay? Islam knows that Muhammad is dead. Okay? Buddhists know that Buddha is in the ground. Is anybody following me? You have a Bible that's full of example after example, over 500 witnesses that saw Jesus alive. So if Jesus is not alive, our Christianity is worth nothing. Do you realize Christianity is the only thing holding back all of the evil in this world? Because of the standard of the Bible, the standard for marriage, the standard for a family, the standard for the church. If any of that slips, we're in trouble. And so mark out that straight path. The Bible says this in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 15. It says you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. Now watch what it says. But the gateway to life is very narrow and that road is difficult and only a few people find it. And that's because only a few people want to stick with it. It's a hard choice. I mean, again, when you look at these scriptures, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not depend or lean on your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge him or seek his will in everything that you do, and he will show you which path to take. Think of that. I mean, we've got the answers on how to keep our feet on the right path. Verse 27 is interesting. I thought this one really stood out to me. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following what? It's easy to do, especially in our technology world today. See, Proverbs 3:23 puts it like this. They keep you safe on your way, and they keep your feet from stumbling. So you're talking about the Word of God. If you follow God's Word, they'll keep you on the safe path. They keep your feet from stumbling. Proverbs 3:26 puts it like this. For the Lord is your security. He will keep your what? Foot from being caught in a trap. He watches out for you, and so the way that he watches out for you and for your marriage and for your family and for the church is through his word. And when we follow that word, we follow God. And what's interesting is Proverbs chapter 1 puts it like this, they rush, their feet run fast to commit evil deeds, and they hurry, they run fast to commit murder. Don't you think about that? What an opposite of what the Bible tells us that we should do. Their feet run fast to do evil things. The Bible says make sure your feet don't slip. Make sure you honor God in everything that you do. And church, I want to give you an example here. So this is on the, I want you to see this. And when we look at this, here's an example in the Bible to keep your feet from going to the wrong place and to the wrong person. I want you to watch the progression here. And then I want you to watch the deception. This is going to blow your mind. Okay? Because this is exactly what's happening in the local church worldwide today. Proverbs chapter 5. Let me take you there. And the Bible gives an example here. Matter of fact, it gives a bunch of examples. But it says this, talking of the adulteress or the prostitute, her feet go down to death. Notice where her feet go. Down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. For she cares nothing about the what? Path of life. She staggers down her feet. She staggers down a crooked trail and does not realize it. Look at the next verse. Verse 8. Stay away from her. Make sure your feet don't go near her. Don't go near the door of her house. How do you get near the door of her house? Your feet go there. Look at verses 12 through 14. You will say, how I hated discipline. This is Solomon talking to his sons. And he warns his sons, stay away from this adulteress or this prostitute. And when the sons don't listen to him, watch what the Bible says here. How I hated discipline. I hated when my dad told me that I better watch out. I was just like, who cares? Anybody with me? You just blow up discipline, don't you? When they warn you, you're like, whatever, in one ear and out the other. But watch what he says here. How I hated discipline. If only I had not ignored all of the warnings. Oh, why didn't I listen to my teachers? Why didn't I pay attention to my instructors? I have come to the brink of utter ruin, and now I must face public disgrace. What's he talking about there? This is where your feet are going to take you, and it's not just where your feet are going to take you, it's the ripple effects after and what it does. Verses 15 through 18. I mean, this is great advice here for the married couple. Drink water from your own well, okay? Share your love only with your wife. Why spill the water of your springs into the streets by having sex with just anybody? You should reserve it for yourselves. Never share it with strangers. Let your wife be the fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. In other words, keep your feet at home, bro. Is anybody with me? That's my added thing right there. Watch the progression here. This will shock you in a moment. And I wanted to give this example because I want to show you how fast it is where your heart goes somewhere, your feet follow. Proverbs 5:21. For the Lord sees clearly what a man does, examining every, what that he takes? Path. Everywhere his feet go. Here's what's interesting. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 8. He was crossing the street near her house, near the house of an immoral woman, strolling down the path by her house. I read that and I was like, man, this guy's heart is being drawn or pulled towards this, and his feet are going that way. But watch verse 14. This is shocking to me. Here's the adulteress or the prostitute, and here's what she said. I've just made my peace offerings, and I just fulfilled my vows. What did she just say there? I just went to church. It's okay. Well, it's quiet in here now, isn't it? That hits home. What I'm saying is, it can happen anywhere, church. And Peter says, keep your guard up. Solomon in Proverbs says, be on guard. Make sure you guard your heart. Because what happens is the religion of the day that's coming and that's here will say, listen, it doesn't matter what the scriptures say. I attend church and everything's cool. Is everybody with me on this? Literally just made the peace offering and vows. And what that means is this lady went to church and gave her peace offering. And that peace offering was, I will not worship idols or give meat to idols. So she was inviting this guy into her home to have dinner with him. And then not stop there. This was shocking to me in verse 14. Because we are seeing this rampant everywhere. Listen, the whole point of this example is this. Please be on guard and watch your heart. Because if we think it's just out there, it is happening all over America, even in churches. So the Bible puts it like this, and here's what I want to show you on the screen with this. I want to show you how fast, evil can be very attractive. It's true. And sin can be wrapped up in a religious wrapping paper, and the present is simply destruction. And I want you to see this. I mean, when you look at this, this wrapping paper's got a nice bow on it. It's got crosses on it. It looks good. But if you were to open that up, destruction. And church, when you look at this, it's interesting because that example in Proverbs, listen, it is not just for the men. Ladies, you need to watch out for the charmer. You need to watch out for the complimenter, okay? Because here's the deal. Your husband should be doing that to you, not some other guy. I figured one amen from a woman. Seriously. I mean, when you look at this, this goes both ways with this. What's the point of all of it? Your feet can take you where sin will destroy you. That's just one example that I wanted to give. Don't let your feet slip. And if you'll remember in 1 Corinthians 15:33, watch what the Bible says here. It says, don't be fooled by those who say such things. Bad company corrupts what? Good character. That's a great rule to live by. Because if you want to make sure that your life turns out the way it should with God, you better watch your heart and you better watch your feet. Watch this. Let's go a different direction here. Psalm 94, verse 18. The Bible puts it this way. And again, these are really powerful. He says, I cried out, I'm slipping, but your unfailing love, O Lord, supported me. Notice that. This guy actually said, I'm in sin. I'm caught. I'm slipping. I'm getting farther away from you, God. I need your help. And then the Bible literally says this, but it's the Lord who supported me. Listen, you may have taken 1,000 steps away from God, but you're only one step away from coming back to him this morning. Just one. So understand that verse. That's a verse of hope. Psalms 121, 1 through 3 puts it like this, and I love these scriptures here. It says this, where does my help come from? I mean, is it from the mountains? Is it from the hills? Is it from all this stuff? No, my help comes from the Lord, who is the maker of what? Heaven and earth. And if he can make heaven and earth, he can take care of you. Think about that. That's incredible. And then verse 3 puts it like this, and I love this verse. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. It says God won't fall asleep on you. He's constantly watching your life, your kids, your marriage. And church, honestly, in a culture that is so screwed up today, I'm thankful we've got God watching our lives. I'm thankful I got the Word of God. See, number 3, your feet slip because your heart slips. This is how this works. It's not your feet's fault, it's your heart's fault. Jeremiah 17:9 puts it like this, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad your heart is? Let's be truthful this morning. Have you ever had a thought come into your head and you were like, where in the world did that thought come from? Because I do not want to think that. Anybody at all? Random, out of nowhere. Dreams, anybody else? You're like, where the heck did that dream come from? Anybody? Man, I didn't do anything to have that dream happen. Whatever it might be. When you look at this, the heart is very deceitful above all things. Proverbs 6:18 puts it like this, though. And again, when you look at the scriptures of this, it says a heart that plots evil and feet that race to do wrong. It's a heart problem. Notice the order there. It's not feet that race to do wrong. It's a heart that plots evil first. That's why when we go back to our early scriptures today, be on guard above all things. Watch your heart. And church, honestly, in our church world today, in our world today, this is hard to do. I don't know what goals you have for your kids, but I'm going to tell you something. It's going to be the fight of your life for your kids not to see things that they shouldn't see before they become an adult. It is everywhere. It's rampant. I would tell you as parents, do not let your kid run your house. You run your house and you set the standard with your kids. Because if you let your kids run your house, your kids are going to run wild. That comes to the phone. That comes to everything. Be the parent. You can still be a great parent and be a great friend to your kid. When you look at this, the bigger picture, guard your heart. Why? Psalm 73 puts it like this. And again, when you look at these scriptures, they're so powerful. I mean, just the way that God does this says, but as for me, I almost lost my footing. I almost lost it. My feet were slipping, and I was almost gone. But watch what he says here. For I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. Notice what he says there is that your heart was drawn to be just like them. Your feet were slipping. Your feet wanted to go where they go. Listen, don't be drawn by this world because it's only going to be destruction and doom for you if you do. How do we know? I mean, here's what he said. Even though I know that they were wicked, I envied them. I had pride in my heart. I wanted to become them. But how many of you know the Bible gives us this warning in Proverbs 16:18? And again, I mean, this is just like super powerful here when you look at these scriptures. He puts it like this, pride goes before destruction and haughtiness before a what? Fall. Yep, feet stumble. Feet trip up. And church, my point is this morning. Wherever your heart is, your feet will go. It's true. You look back at everybody that's made every excuse over humanity, it all started with their hearts, and their feet followed. You know, the Bible says, Jesus said, the eyes are the lamp of the body. Whatever your eyes are looking at, that's what enters your body. It's a pretty scary thing. Think about that. Because if your eyes catch something they shouldn't, and your thought process begins, guess what happens? Your heart begins to come up with these things that they shouldn't come up with. You got to be on guard. And as we close out 2 Peter 3, he says this, I don't want you to drift away. I don't want your feet to slip. Make sure you remain faithful until Jesus returns. Don't allow yourself to even begin to drift away. But one of the greatest things for me, people would ask me, what is my greatest motivation as a pastor, as a husband, as a dad? What's my greatest motivator every day? That Jesus is going to return a second time, period. I will give an account to him. It literally dictates everything that I do. What do you think about that? Because if I didn't think Jesus was going to return and a second time and I didn't think that I was going to give an account to him, I would live however I want to. Pretty simple. But since I really believe he's coming back, and the Bible warns us of that day to make sure that we live a life and we're prepared, we've got to make sure that it's the greatest motivator. And I was thinking about this. The greatest thing that's ever happened to me, I've been married for 30 years to my high school sweetheart. I got two beautiful kids. I got three beautiful grandkids. We've been at the same church pastoring for 28 years. I mean, I look at all of that. I'm so blessed. But I will tell you, the greatest thing that's ever happened to me is salvation, period. Because if I hadn't been forgiven of my sins, I'd be a miserable person today. Watch what Hebrews puts it. He says this in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. So we must listen very carefully to the truth that we've heard, preached to us, taught to us, or we may, what? Drift away from it. Hebrews says right there, people can drift away from the truth. For the message God delivered through angels has always stood firm, and every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. God doesn't let any of it go unpunished. So watch this. So what makes us think that we can escape if we ignore such a what salvation? Great. That's it right there. You ask me what keeps me on track? Right there. A great salvation. Man, to think that God forgave me of the things that I've done, you're sitting in the same place too. You would be a miserable person here today if God had not forgiven you of what you've done in your life. I would be miserable up here today. I wouldn't be able to stand up here today if it weren't for the forgiveness and hope of God. And it says this, what makes us think that we can escape if we ignore such a great salvation that was first announced to us by the Lord Jesus Christ himself and then delivered to us by those who heard him speak? And God confirmed the message, this great salvation, by giving signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit whenever he chose. Look at the life of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are so powerful. People are like, I don't know what God looks like. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you'll see exactly what God looks like. I didn't know what forgiveness looked like until there was an adulteress, a lady caught in adultery, and all of these arrogant, prideful men had rocks in their hands, and they were going to stone her to death because that's what the law said to do. Jesus walks up and starts to write inside the sand. I don't know what he wrote, but I'll tell you this. Those guys dropped their rocks and walked off. And what did he tell the lady? Go and what? Sin no more. I didn't know what forgiveness looked like until I read that picture. That's powerful, church. Is anybody with me? That's a powerful picture of forgiveness. I didn't know what forgiveness looked like until I saw Matthew the tax collector. Matthew the Levite, who Jesus called, this guy ripped everybody off. He stole from everybody, and Jesus forgave him and made him one of his disciples. That's a pretty powerful picture of forgiveness. And so when you look at this, even churches can drift away. Whole churches. This is scary. Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. The Bible says, but I have this complaint against you. Who's talking there? Jesus. Jesus is talking to this church. Watch what he says. You don't love me or each other as you what? First did. You drifted. Can you imagine Jesus walking into Endurance today and saying, hey, I just want to let the entire church know, not just one or two of you, the entire church has drifted away from me and you do not love me like you first did. Or you don't love each other like you first did. Why don't you think about that? And watch what he says. Look how far you have what? Fallen. And watch what he says. Turn back to me and do the works that you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. What is he saying there? You will not exist anymore. Pretty scary. What's the warning for the church? Don't drift away. How do you drift away? You begin to twist the scriptures and you get away from the Bible. Six major denominations. 2013, it started. that this group went after six major denominations in the United States. All six of those have fallen and gotten away from the Bible, all six of them. I read some statistics on how they did it. What they did was they put a couple million dollars towards the propaganda to get into these denominations and begin to train and teach that you need to be tolerant, you need to be accepting, and you need to be affirming to everybody because the Bible says that's what you should do. Anybody with me? So when that started, these six denominations that they infiltrated and went after have now literally gotten away from the Bible. It's crazy. And what happens is when a church does not stick with the Bible, then a church drifts and falls away. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. How do you deal with this? Well, simple. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and what? Strength. Love him with everything you've got, and you're not going to fall away from your first love. Ephesians 4:14 puts it like this. And again, when you look at these scriptures, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of what? New teaching. They're saying everything that's added to the Bible, everything that's taken away. They don't want to stick with the scriptures. We got all this new cool stuff that we're doing. And Paul warns about that. Don't be tossed everywhere by all this new teaching. It says this, we will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Church, if there's anything I can warn you of as your pastor today, please make sure that you stick with the Bible. I don't care how popular the Bible teacher is or the pastor. You know, it's interesting. There's a Instagram and Facebook thing out there called Preachers and Sneakers. Has anybody ever seen it? Okay, maybe just me. Two people. It's called Preachers and Sneakers, okay? Charles was walking from Life Group over here today, and I said, hey, Charles, how are you? And he goes, Jerry, I knew it was you because of your white sneakers. I was walking behind him. $59.95 right here, Adidas. Preachers and Sneakers, though, what they do is they expose what's happening in the church. These guys are dropping $1,000 on a pair of sneakers, $5,000 on a pair of sneakers. All this stuff. And what's happening is the world is looking at the church and dissecting it and showing, listen, you guys don't care anything about what the message of the Bible says. You guys are doing your own thing. You guys have become so self-centered, and it's all about what you look like, and it's all about the performance, and it's all, listen, you got to stick with the Bible. Is anybody with me on that? Is there anything wrong with having a nice pair of sneakers? No, there's not. I promise you, you'd rather have me in these than bare feet today. I promise you that. Anybody? I mean, here's the deal. When you look at it, what they're trying to expose is that the church has become something that it shouldn't. And I look at this, and here's great advice from Hebrews again. The writer of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his what? Promise. Church, if you will make sure that you watch your heart and watch your feet, he's faithful. He'll be faithful to the very end. Let's wrap this up today. Here's an example of how fast this can happen, and this is scary to me. If the Apostle Paul, the guy that wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, were to walk in here, I think I would probably give him the microphone this morning. Is anybody with me? Yeah, I would be sitting right there on the front seat. I mean, he wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. I want you to see how fast this can happen with somebody that is a part of one of the greatest ministries ever, and they're gone the next. Colossians 4:14. The Bible says this, Luke, the beloved doctor, sends his greetings, and so does who? Demas. Yeah, he's a part of the crew. He's a part of the staff. He's a part of the ministry. He's going everywhere with Paul and Dr. Luke. Philemon 1:24. So do Mark. And guess who is right there? A couple more people down. Demas. He's a part of the group. And watch what Paul says here. Paul says, they are my co-workers. I mean, that's interesting. Philemon says, hey, they're the co-workers. These guys are the team. Look at 2 Timothy 4:10. Demas has deserted me. This is Paul talking. Demas has deserted me because he loves the things of this life and has gone to Thessalonica. He left me. He left God. He left the Apostle Paul. He left the ministry. And it says he loved the things of this world more than he did God. I want you to think about that. That's how fast that can happen. And be honest with you, if the Apostle Paul were to say, Jerry, we want you to come and walk with us, and we want you to go on these journeys with us, and we want you to go minister with us, how many people in this place would drop everything and be like, I'm going with the Apostle Paul. I've read his letters. This guy saw incredible stuff. This guy was an incredible man of God. And yet Demas, one of his co-workers, literally his co-partners, is gone. And what's interesting is this. 1 John 2:15 gives us the warning on this. It tells us literally what happened here. And again, this is just, to me, it's shocking. I mean, you look at these scriptures and it says this. Do not love this world nor the things that it offers you. Watch this. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. You've given that up. You've traded it. That's right there. How did Demas and his feet go to Thessalonica? Because his heart was gone first. Church, that's the warning in 2 Peter chapter 3 for us. See, 2 Timothy 4:8, let me show you the difference real quick. 2 Timothy 4:8 puts it like this. And again, when you read these, you're going to see the difference between remaining faithful and not remaining faithful. Watch what Paul says here. He says, and now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day of his return. Watch this. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his what? Appearing. If you go to verse 10, Demas has left me. Demas has deserted me. Because he loved the things of this world and he's gone to Thessalonica, he's out. I mean, how do you travel with the Apostle Paul and realize that there's a reward and a prize in verse 8 and then all of a sudden be gone? Because you did not guard your heart. Church, that's how fast it can happen. And I would say this, did you know that every reel that you look at on your phone, the dopamine in your brain is doing dumps? Every video that you see, you're getting dopamine dumps. So what's happening is every visual that you have, they're saying that literally the average scroll is 2,000 videos a day now. Think of that. And every time you have a dopamine dump, so your brain gets excited. And what happens is we become so dull to everything else because we have to have that shot constantly. And I promise you this. I guarantee you, the fall of America would be if technology stopped and the internet was shut down for a week, America would go insano. Anybody? Literally, because they have to have those dopamine hits constantly. So, Matthew 24, 12 through 13. Watch this. I love this set of verses here. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. Watch this. But the one who endures to the end will be what, church? Saved. I love that. What a great promise for people that remain. As our worship team comes back, I want to give you this at the end. Is it possible to stay on the path of God? How many of you guys have seen people slip off the path of God and you were just like, I don't understand it. That's crazy to me. What the heck is happening to people? Listen, is it possible? Yeah, look at Daniel. Daniel 1:8 says this, and I love these set of scriptures here because what happens is you have to first set out not to defile yourself. Daniel 1:8, it says, but Daniel was determined to not defile himself. Okay? He was captured. He was taken to Babylon. And he says, listen, I'm not going to defile myself with what the king is doing. And in this instant, it was eating the food and the wine that was given by the king. But here's the point. He decided in his heart he wouldn't defile himself. So what would be the result of guarding your heart, being on guard? Look at Daniel 5:12 and Daniel 6:3. Daniel 5:12 says this, because of what kind of spirit? Excellent spirit. Man, when you stay on the path of God and you don't defile yourself and you don't let your heart get off guard and you don't let your feet slip, what happens is God puts an excellent spirit in you. And the Bible says, because an excellent spirit, knowledge and understanding to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve problems were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar, watch this, now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Daniel was the answer man in his day. Why? Because he didn't defile himself. And look at Daniel 6:3. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps, any high official in the kingdom, because of what an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the entire kingdom. What does it start with? Don't defile yourself. Anybody with me? Guard your heart. This is what 2 Peter closes out with. Don't drift away. Don't defile yourself. Guard your heart, because then if not, your feet will slip. And as the band begins to play, 2 Peter 3:18 says this, the very last verse in our book, and we're done. Can you believe we went through 1 and 2 Peter in 3 months? It's been awesome. Watch what he says to us. Rather, everybody say rather. Rather, you must grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All glory to him, both now and forever. Amen. What's the answer to your feet not slipping? You need to choose. Rather means that you choose. You do this instead of let your feet slip. This is how your feet won't slip. Rather, you must grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the key to it all. Church, I hope that 1 and 2 Peter has been powerful for you. I'll be honest, it's changed my outlook on the last days. It's really put something in my heart to make sure that I stay on the right path, that I don't let my feet slip. What a powerful set of scriptures today. Stick with the scriptures, the truth, not anything false. Don't twist it. Don't let anybody twist it on you, and don't let any deception enter your life. Stick with the Bible, and your feet won't slip. Stand with us this morning, if you will. And as we closing this out today, how many of you realize that God's love never fails? He never fails. He's such a great God. I want to do this today. I know it's been a while. Matter of fact, we had it last week, but if any of our prayer team is here, would our prayer team come forward today? I know there's some people going through things today. I've already talked to several of you. Maybe there's a heaviness on your heart that you're going through. Maybe you need a breakthrough. Maybe you got anxiety and worry about life and all this stuff, whatever it may be. Maybe you're going through a situation. You're just like, God, I want to be like Daniel. I don't want to defile myself. I want to have an excellent spirit about me. Give me favor with everybody that I come into contact. God, give me influence. Let me have an excellent spirit within me. Whatever it may be today, I pray today that God would touch your life and answer your prayers today as we close out with singing about his unfailing love today. So if you need prayer, please come forward today, and then we'll close out the service after we're done.